Think about these words, these places. Chernobyl, Bhopal, Three Mile Island, Love Canal, nuclear waste, toxic ash, acid rain, places and words that would have had no real meaning at the start of the 20th century. And yet, they signify realities and places that embody the scarring that humanity has done unto its earth within the last 100 years. Medical researchers testing the tissues of Eskimos have found residue of pesticides which we use in our continental United States. New York City produces roughly 20 tons of waste daily. And when you burn that waste, it creates toxic ash. Anyone who has been in Atlanta on a summer morning, a hot summer morning, knows how ozone is a component of pervasive smog that overhangs the city. But in atmosphere, ozone is nature's sunscreen. It is that which protects us and allows our life to live, and yet our ozone layer in our atmosphere has been depleting at a rate of about 4% a year. That's why we have so many skin cancers. Because what we've done to our own atmosphere. And the ozone layer over Antarctica actually has almost a continent-sized hole in it. And in fact, Antarctica hit almost 70 degrees this week. This week. Antarctica. And a glacier the size of the city of Atlanta broke off into the sea. We are using our non-renewable resources at an alarming rate, even as our world population continues to explode. In 1650, a 500 million people lived on this earth. By 1800, it was 1 billion. By 1920, it was 2 billion. By 1960, was 4 billion. In 2017 was 7.5 billion. Can we sustain humanity? Can we save our earth? Though we have between 20 and 30 million species of living creatures, the extinction rate is happening faster than we can count what we've lost. And there are some Christians who say, hey, no big deal. The earth is not our home. We're just passing through. It doesn't matter what we do with the environment. That attitude... Excuse me, is so prevalent. There are ecologists who say, in order to truly save our earth, you're going to have to renounce Christianity. Because Christians and Jews come from a tradition where they just see the earth as something to be used up. Other religions saw creation as divine, but Christianity and Judaism never did. They saw it as a gift, but a gift over which we had dominion. And dominion meant mastery. Dominion meant we could use it however we wanted it. It meant we were free to exploit it and manipulate it. Question becomes, is that really the Christian attitude? There were Christians in the 18th and 19th century who saw the world, nature, as chaos that had to be manipulated and controlled and pushed back. But is that really the Christian attitude? No. No, running throughout our scripture is a fundamental theme. The earth is the Lord's and all that is therein. The earth is the Lord's and all that is therein. And we are to be caretakers of this great gift that belongs to God. It does not belong to us. It belongs to God. Genesis begins, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created the heavens and the earth. And looked upon all of the vastness of creation and said, it is very good. But running throughout the scriptures is the theme, the earth is the Lord's. The very rationale that God gave Moses for unleashing plagues upon Pharaoh was because I wanted Hebrew and Egyptian alike to know all of the earth is the Lord's. When the Hebrews followed Joshua into the promised land behind the Ark of the Covenant, God commanded Joshua to impress upon them, we do so, I want them to understand the earth is the Lord's. It all belongs unto God. Psalms 24:1, the earth is the Lord and all that dwells therein. The world and all that dwells therein. The fullness thereof. Running throughout our scriptures is this powerful understanding. Yes, God has given us dominion. But dominion is not mastery. Dominion is not license for manipulation. Dominion is not excuse to exploit. The real meaning of dominion is stewardship. Stewardship. We are stewards of what belongs to God. It is God's, but we have been given stewardship over the environment as God's emissaries and ambassadors. And yet, I am willing to bet most of you have been going to church all of your life and never heard a message reminding you that you are under divine obligation to take care of this earth. We are stewards. We are emissaries. We are God's ambassadors. It is God's. But we're meant to take care of it, not only for ourselves, but for future generations. Let me give you an image that even the smallest child in here can understand what I'm trying to say. When my sister and I reached a certain age, my parents would go off and they would put me in charge over the household. I had dominion. But dominion didn't mean what I wanted it to mean, that my sister had to do whatever I told her to do. No, dominion meant I had to look after her. Dominion meant that I had to make sure I looked after her welfare. I had to take care of her. Dominion meant I couldn't hang her dolls out the window or hide her bicycle or do a lot of the other stuff that big brothers like to do to little sisters. No, dominion meant responsibility. Dominion over the earth means responsibility. It's not license to do what we want. It's not freedom to manipulate the earth. Rather, it means that we are to look after the welfare of what God has given us and to make sure that it is healthy and nurturing. When God created the earth, what did he do? He ordained a Sabbath rest into the very fabric of time. Not only are humans and creatures to stop working, but the earth is to rest on the seventh day. Leviticus 25 says, "When you enter the land that I shall give you, you shall work the land for 6 years, but on the seventh year, let it rest. Allow the vineyard and the field to lie dormant." God has a passion for God's creation and calls us to take that passion into account. We are stewards meant to allow our land to be replenished and refreshed. And many Christians over the years have understood this. The early Christians, the 3rd and 4th century ascetics who went off into the desert, they wanted to reestablish God's relationship with nature, so they developed friendships with the lions and the hyenas. Macarius of Alexandria was so distraught over killing one mosquito that he sentenced himself to live for several months among mosquitoes. Now, that's going a little far, according to me. But when the Irish monks who saved civilization and saved Christianity were trying to recreate the Edenic world, they sought to create healthy relationships with the animals of the field. The 18th century Methodist, the Quakers who opposed slavery, also in the 18th century began to champion what we would call animal rights. And who among us does not know that man named John Chapman, who made it his life's calling to answer God's call to replenish and nourish the earth, though most of you know him by his nickname, Johnny Appleseed. Saint Francis of Assisi, that amazing man, said, "Understand, the sun, the moon, even the rain, they are our brothers and sisters, because we all share the same parent. The same mark of God is upon every living creature that draws breath, just as it is upon us." The divine participates in all of us, and we share kinship with all of creation. We not only exist in nature, we are a part of nature. the very molecules in your body, the very cells that comprise who you are, they were once a part of other creatures. And they will be again. And the very cellular structure of your being is amazingly similar to the cellular structure of plants, even bacteria. We all share a common kinship. We all bear the mark of the divine. Creation is, it is sacred. It's not divine, but it's sacred. What do I mean? I mean that unlike other religions that saw God in the river, or God in the tree, or God in the sun, Christianity rejected that. And yet, we see nature as having a sacramental power. It's not divine, but God has given it the ability to communicate the divine. It's not divine, but it is sacred. It communicates the very reality of God. When Melissa was a summer missionary in West Africa, she said that when someone drowned, the natives there wouldn't say that someone drowned. They said, no, the water spirits took him. For them, the river was divine. And the drowning was an act of the divine pulling them down. Christianity rejected that. But Christianity understood that everything that is a part of God's creation reflects God's imprint. And recovering this understanding that we are stewards of God's creation is vitally important to our world. It's not just a small segment of Christians who deny ecological responsibility. A large number of secularists do too. I read a London philosopher who said, hey, what do I really care if human life continues? Apart from religious convictions, why does it matter? Is it really fair to say that generations that will never be born because they've used up the resources are worse off than those who are? Who knows? An MIT professor echoed, if you think about the whole span of the earth, of life as an airplane trip, humanity got on 8 minutes before the end. Industrial humanity, about 6 seconds before the end. I've been thinking, does it really matter how much longer the trip lasts? I've come to the conclusion, I don't care, it doesn't matter. It does matter. We must care. There's a great Kenyan proverb that says, we do not inherit the earth from our parents. We borrow the earth from our children. We borrow the earth from our children. We stand accountable before God and to the generations that come after us to be good stewards, to understand that the earth really is the Lord's, and we are called by God to do all within our power to keep it a healthy and nourishing place. May the theme of the scriptures penetrate our daily lives as we seek to be good stewards of our Christ. May we pray together. God of grace and goodness, may you impress upon us the necessity to truly look at our world as yours, not ours. And may we treat it with utmost care and respect as stewards of your kingdom. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.